Blog Talk Radio.
New beginnings is not just for the young. I don't know if we say that over and over again, and it just sounds so good to my ears to know that new beginnings is not just for the young. Amen?
Amen.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries, And we are here, we are an interactive Bible study. And what does that mean? That means that we come on every Wednesday at 7 o'clock and we invite guest speakers as well as those that call in and those that listen by internet. But we are an interactive Bible study. So we get on and we just basically just share the Word of God for those of you that call in, and we just have a good time in the Lord. Amen. And it's just so wonderful that when the brothers and sisters do tune in or call in and participate, because it just makes the Bible, interactive Bible study, so much more interesting for the listeners. We do pray that the word that we are about to share this evening is a blessing to your ears, and also that you will able to receive guidance from it. We're going to have prayer, and then after directly after we have prayer, then we're going to go into the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your glory, and your mercy. We thank you for where you've brought us, and Father, we thank you for where you're going to take us.
Amen.
Lord, Father, we pray for all those who are listening, and even those who chose to listen and didn't have the opportunity. We pray, Lord, that we would all be all on accord, and your word, Heavenly Father, would be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Father, Lord, that as we continue the ministry through this blog talk, Heavenly Father, that it is an encouraging word. It we are able to bless those, Heavenly Father, that tune in, even those, Heavenly Father, that speak, Heavenly Father, from time to time. We ask that it would be a blessing to them as well. Lord, Father, we don't do this for any form or fashion. We just come together just to encourage the saints of God. We pray that the meditation of our mouth and the, is acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Again, we are talking, today is, or this evening, we are talking about the topic is I Choose Life. I Choose Life. And we're coming from Jeremiah 33:14 through 26. Jeremiah 33:14 through 26, giving you an opportunity to get your Bibles ready so as we interpret the Word of God. Amen. Sister Suzanne, did you want to read?
Okay. Jeremiah 33, beginning with verse 14, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. Yes, the day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good I promised them. At that time, I will bring to the throne the true son of David, and he shall rule justly. In that day, the people of Judah and Jerusalem shall live in safety, and their motto will be, the Lord is our righteousness. For the Lord declared that from then on, David shall forever have an heir sitting on the throne of Israel. And there shall always be Levites to offer burnt offerings and meal offerings and sacrifices to the Lord.
Amen.
This message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. If you can break my covenant with the day and with the night, so that day and night don't come on their usual schedule, only then will my covenant with David, my servant, be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne, my covenant with the Levite priests, my ministers is uncancelable. And as the stars cannot be counted, nor the sand upon the seashore measure, so the descendants of David, my servant, and the line of the Levites who minister to me will be multiplied. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah again and said, have you heard what people are saying? That the Lord chose Judah and Israel and then abandoned them? They are sneering and saying that Israel isn't worthy to be counted as a nation. But this is the Lord's reply. I will no more reject my people than I will change my laws of day, of night and day, of earth and sky. I will never abandon the Jews or David, my servant, or change the plan that his child will someday rule these descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I will restore their prosperity and have mercy on them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. As we begin to interpret the word of the Lord, starting off with the first part of Jeremiah, we look at 33:14. It says, "Behold, the days have come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel, concerning the house of Judea, of Judah." And here it is talking, it says, "Behold, the days of Jehovah," meaning that behold, the days shall come. Behold, the days shall come, and I will rise up unto David a righteous branch. You know, the beautiful thing I enjoy about this word, you know, and I call it the Davidic covenant, the Davidic covenant. And that Davidic covenant is the reason why you and I are here today. It is a promise that was made unto David. And through David, is why we have Jesus Christ. So as we kind of look at the whole picture of that, understanding that through that line of David is where Jesus Christ came, and who is the Savior for you and for myself. And it says, "Behold, the days have come, saith Jehovah, that I will perform that good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judea. Behold, the days shall come." Now, when we look at Jeremiah, if we take a step back, Jeremiah 23:5 pretty much has the same things. It says the same thing. "Behold, the days shall come that Jehovah will raise up David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Now, when we look up, when we look at, it goes on even further, when we look at Jeremiah 29:10, it says, "For thus says Jehovah, after 70 years, after accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." Return to this place. Meaning that during that time, there was, there was two type of religions. There was two type of religions. Those that that worshipped our Lord and Savior in the house of Jerusalem, and there were those still believed in the covenant of Moses, that still believed in the covenant of Moses. So those that believed in the covenant of Moses, there was two religions there. But anyhow, we're not going to go deep into that. But when we look at it, Jeremiah 29:10 references to a promise that has already been given. It is referencing a promise that has already been given. Isn't it good to know that Jesus Christ has given you and myself a promise? He's made a promise. He said, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." He's made a promise, said that I will be with you, even until the end of time. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us. That's just only a small portion of the promises that Jesus Christ has given to you and to I. So when we look at the days of, says Jehovah, I will perform that good word which I have spoken to you. I will perform that good word, meaning that I will. There's a promise that I am going to give Israel concerning the house of Judah. Concerning the house of Judah, there is a word from the Lord concerning that. And keep in mind that when God is dealing with Israel was his chosen people. They are his chosen people. But the problem is that God is a jealous God. Even though that he loves you, he loves me, he is a jealous God. God does not want us to serve any other God except for him. Thou wilt have no other God except for the God of Jehovah.
Amen.
God does not want you and I to love anything more than him. Because when we begin to start to love something more than God, we take our eyes and our hearts off of God, and God is not in the picture anymore. So as we go into this, this is what is happening during the time of Israel. Israel chose to serve idols. Israel chose to serve idols rather than God. Now let's move on. Jeremiah 33:15. In those days and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. When the good word was spoken in the name of Yahweh, we look at the word righteousness was given. Righteousness is given almost like to something that's going to sprout up. God is saying something that is going to sprout up. Okay, the good word Yahweh, the righteousness is meaning that God is going to sprout up. He has given to Jerusalem and to the church because Jerusalem at this time has, and her business is to meditate on the work of the earth, that righteousness which Christ, which works absolutely, sprout up to come forth. Now, when we look at it, we can compare almost when it says here, talking about how God is going to allow to sprout up. He's talking about the body of Christ, his body. His body is going to come forth. And when we look at it, compare Ephesians 1:23, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth in all. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Meaning that in Christ is all we need. Christ is all we need. We don't have to go and in search of other things to replace Christ. We don't have to put anything else before Christ. And here it's saying in Ephesians, it says, the fullness of the body and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God is able to give us everything that we need. God is able to give us everything that we need. We don't have to look any further when it comes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't have to look any further. And then when we go on further, it says Jeremiah 33:16, it says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby she shall be called, Jehovah our righteousness. Jehovah, our righteousness. In Jeremiah 16, and this is the name which you should be called, the Lord. When we talk about the Lord, we're talking about righteousness. When we look at the Lord, when we talk about the Lord, we're talking about righteousness. That is the fullness of who God is, righteousness for his people. Amen? If I want to, you know, kind of digress back and look back, and I always try to compare other scriptures in here, and when I look at it, it says in Jeremiah 23:6, it says, in the days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called Jehovah, our righteousness. Does that sound familiar?
Amen.
Jehovah, our righteousness. And again, comparing that with Jeremiah 23:6, it talks about righteousness, where Jehovah is our righteousness. Amen? And if you have a comment, you know, you could just hit the number one on your phone, and we will connect you in as I continue. And if you don't hit the number one, I will just continue as we continue to move forward. Amen? Looking at, and we're going even further, we look at Jeremiah 33:17. Jeremiah 33:17. And thus said Jehovah, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Amen? It was necessary that the Bible should be intangible for the people at the time when it was written. In some degree, to the writer, the Davidic kinship and the Levitical priesthood were symbols which represented the Jew, all that was most dear to his heart, and that state of things under which he lived. Their restoration was the restoration of his national and spiritual life. Neither was so restored as to exist permanently, but that was given. Instead, of which both were types, the church who was the head and the true prophet, priest, and king. The true prophet, priest, and king. So when it says it is necessary during that time that it was written, when we look at the two, comparing the Davidic kinship, that is, the Davidic kinship is the relationship with God and David. At that time, where God made David a promise of saying that because of the worship of idols, because of Israel choosing to turn their hearts away from God, he has made a promise to David in saying that he will bless the throne that David sits on, meaning that normally there are other kings that come in that occupy the throne. And what God is saying here is that through the line of David, he's going to bless the generations after David. They're going to be within his line. Because if we look at David, the next ruler of the throne was Solomon, his son. So what God is saying is that he is going to bless that generation or that line within David. David is on the throne, and anyone after the throne is going to be from the line of David. Amen?
Amen.
Any comments?
I just love the way that, you know, of course this is hindsight, but If Jews today would look back at Jeremiah and look at Isaiah and Daniel, they'll see how the Old Testament was a shadow of the things that we know in the New Testament. And I know that the Jews don't use the New Testament, but you can see that it was all coming. So this is the Lord promising that Jesus Christ was going to come through David's line.
Amen.
And that there would always be a descendant on the throne, and Jesus is on the throne.
Amen.
For eternity.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, no more king. Jesus is other than Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the king.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
The king of this kingdom, and that his kingdom would last forever.
Forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And isn't that
praise
a blessing, knowing that his kingdom will last forever?
Praise the Lord.
Because if Jesus Christ was not here, neither would we be.
So the Lord was promising David, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, for someone to tell you that your family, there'll always be someone in your line, your descendants on the throne, it's probably difficult to see beyond yourself, your child, maybe a grandchild,
mm-hmm.
but beyond that. And, you know, forever?
Mm-hmm.
Forever?
Amen.
Forever. That's a long time.
Amen. You know, and you know, just piggybacking off of that, when we look at in terms of the genealogy or the gene, the things that we do, and that was one that had a lot to do with my title, I Choose Life. And the reason that I selected I Choose Life after my study in this part of the Davidic covenant, what we do will determine what's going to happen through our line,
mm-hmm.
through our line, the generation that's going to come after us. We make a difference in terms of what is going to happen. So when I choose life, meaning that I choose Jesus Christ, I choose Jesus Christ. I choose to follow Jesus Christ. I choose to follow a sure thing. And we're not all perfect. We're not all perfect. But we are here trying to do the right thing. We're here trying to make the best choices that we can and to be good people.
Amen.
In the eyes of God.
Amen.
And our choices can determine what's going to happen in our life,
amen.
In our generational life. So, meaning that I choose life, meaning that even those, the generations of kids that have not even come yet, that we have never even seen, but we're choosing life for them.
Amen.
We're
Amen.
Choosing life
Amen.
For them. Amen.
So we live the life as example before them, and we speak life over them and speak positively and speak what we see, what the Lord has given us. Everyone has a purpose and there's divine providence over everyone,
mm-hmm.
divine provision over everyone.
Amen.
But sometimes children can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to say that. We have to speak to each other in love, correction in love,
mm-hmm.
with speaking life. Another thing in the verse, I don't know, did you get to the end of the verse? Because one of the things...
What 26? No, we haven't gotten
to I'll hold on to it then. Because that's exciting. That's exciting. Okay,
amen.
I mean, all of it is exciting. But I was
mentioning
that piece.
Amen. Jeremiah 33:18 says, neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to burn meal offerings and to do sacrifice continually. At that time, the priests were the ones who would burn the offerings for the people. You could not go to Jesus Christ. You could not go to God at that time. You had to go to a man. You had to go to a priest. And the priest would be the intercessory between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
You and God. Mm-hmm. And so the burnt offerings were to a sacrifice for your sins at that time. They were a sacrifice for your sins. So here it's saying, neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and a burnt meal offering, and to do sacrifice continually. To do sacrifice continually, constantly asking Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. The beauty of it now is we can go to Jesus Christ ourselves. We can go to Jesus Christ ourselves. We can go have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ without going to someone else. The veil has been torn. The veil has been torn. We can go directly to God at any time, at any hour, to ask for forgiveness. And, you know, it gets even deeper, and I just want to add this, and it has nothing to do with the scriptural, the topic that we're talking about. But as we're going to God on a one-to-one basis, I have found that it is crucial to spend one-on-one time with God, and we call that solitude. We call that quiet time, sanctuary, spending time with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord, one-on-one, away from all the noise, the chatter, away from all of that, and spending time with the Lord. And when we spend time with the Lord, that's when we become real. We become real. We can tell God our truest and deepest desires. And that's the beauty of it. When we have that type of relationship, when we can go toward God, we can go to God, and we can share our innermost feelings with God.
And you can hear and you can listen, because part of the problem is we go and we talk, and then we get up and we don't, and that's it. But we have to listen. You have to quiet. You need the sanctuary and the quiet in your spirit so that you can hear what the Lord has to say to you.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. And that is also key, also in terms of being able to hear God. When there's a lot of chatter around, when there's a lot of noise, and we constantly, and let's just face it, brothers and sisters, we're constantly intruded by noise all the time. TV, radio, you know, wherever we go, there's always noise. There's always distractions. And you have to find some time away from all of that to spend with God. And when you do that, it just seems to add so much more to the relationship with you and Jesus Christ. You just get a greater sense of being a better. I mean, you just feel good when you have that peace within your life from spending that one-on-one time away from the world and spending with Jesus Christ. But again, that's something. You know, you probably do, and if you don't do, try it. Try it. If you want your life to escalate, and if you want to be able to have peace within your life, start spending quiet time away from everything else, but just you and the Lord. And you take a certain amount of time that you just spend with the Lord daily, away from everything else. Amen? I guarantee you, things will change in your life. Amen, amen, amen. Moving on with the scripture, Jeremiah 33:19. And the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah. And the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah, saying, Jeremiah, and you know, Jeremiah was a prophet at the time. And Jeremiah was, to some, called the weeping prophet. And the reason, excuse me, that he was considered the weeping prophet is because he was prophesying to Israel, and they didn't understand. They would not respond to his prophetic word. they would not respond. So in his eyes, he saw, how can I say it? He saw Israel as being dead. Israel as being dead at the time because they would not hearken to the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah knew that God's wrath was going to destroy them. And his heart, he just hurt so much because they would not repent and turn from their ways. They would not get rid of those idols. They would not get rid of the wickedness that was in their heart. They would not do that. So Jeremiah cried for the people of Israel simply because they would not acknowledge God. So when we're talking about Jeremiah, that's who Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. And actually, he and Amos, if I'm not mistaken, they were considered two of the greatest prophets there were. But Jeremiah, and the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah. The word of Jehovah, God spoke through Jeremiah to tell or to give a word to the people, to let them know, to get rid of that wickedness, to turn their hearts back to him through repentance, because God loved Israel and still does, Amen? 33:20 Thus said Jehovah, if ye can break my covenant on the day and my covenant of the night, so that there shall be no day and night in the season. So there should be no day or night in the season.
And that goes back, that goes back to Genesis. That's what the Lord's promise, one of the Lord's promises, where he made day and night, and he separated them.
Amen.
The moon for night and the sun for day.
Amen.
So that's a covenant.
Amen. 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 Thus said Jehovah, you can break my covenant of the day. If you can break it, can you just stop? Can you stop it?
Mm-hmm.
And the covenant of night, so that there shall be no day and night in the season? Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? And God is saying here, as he goes even further, if you can do that, then I will break my covenant with David. I had made a promise that the Davidic covenant that is going, that the line is going to come through David. I'll break that if you can do that. If you can stop the day and if you can stop the night, I will do that. Amen? That just shows how good God is. That shows how good God is, how big, how vast God is. Amen?
Amen.
Moving on. Jeremiah 33:23, and the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah. And the word of the God and of the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah. Amen. And let me look at that again. 23. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Again, it's talking about God speaking through his prophet Jeremiah. God gave a word through Jeremiah to share with Israel. Amen.
Can we go back to 22?
Correct.
Okay, in the Living Bible it says, and as the stars cannot be counted, nor the sand upon the seashore is measured, so the descendants of David, my servant, and the line of the Levites who ministered to me will be multiplied. I think that that we need to note that the Levites were there, that they were part of it also, but the Levites ministered with all of the different tribes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the 12 tribes with Israel being the father, or Jacob being the father, and then all of the sons, but he's pulling out. The Lord has chosen Judah and Levi,
mm-hmm.
the favor that's there for them, and mm-hmm. that they'll also be.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, that's just a covenant saying to David that, you know, he is going to multiply the seed of David. He's going
Amen.
To multiply it, the seed of David, mm-hmm. because of his covenant that he made with David, that Davidic covenant that he made with David, that he's telling David that I will multiply your seed, meaning that he's talking about the generations that's going to come after you is going to be numerous. The generations that's going to come after you is going to be numerous, and it's going to be huge for the world. Amen? And as we see, as we spoke about earlier, talking about Jesus Christ, came through that line. Just Jesus Christ alone, you know, is enough. Just Jesus Christ alone was enough. Amen? And we have to realize also that David was a man after God's own heart. David made mistakes. David messed up. David messed up. But he never stopped to come back to God and ask for forgiveness. He never chose not to come back to God to repent for his sins. Even though he knew he messed up, he would always come back to God and ask for forgiveness.
That's part of what the Lord wants. He said, it's not about being perfect. It's not about perfection. It's about progress, spiritual progress. Part of our spiritual progress is being authentic and honest, not pretending like you're perfect, not pretending like we got it all together, we know everything, but that, yes, I made a mistake. Lord, please forgive me.
Amen.
You know, going before people when you make a mistake, and it means that you made a mistake. No one is perfect. We're all human. And David was such a, and I believe that's why the Lord entrusted David with the kingdom, entrusted David and blessed him so, because he knew that David was going to be honest, which is in total contrast to what, when we go back to Genesis and look at Adam, where Adam, rather than being honest, Adam hid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then he cast the blame on somebody else. You know, well, I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't given me this woman. It's her fault. You know, well, why are you hiding, Adam? Well, because I'm naked. Well, how did you know you were naked? You know, So it was a totally different relationship where you can take joy, the Lord took joy in David, that even though he made a mistake, even though he had carnal ways and he was human, he was a liar, he was a murderer, he was lustful, you know, he wasn't a good father. You know, the different things about him, wasn't a good husband, but the Lord still blessed him because David knew he wasn't perfect, and above all else was that he loved the Lord. In spite, he knew his weaknesses and his he knew his weaknesses and his transgressions, but he loved the Lord nonetheless, and he was going to praise him regardless of who he was, and not try to hide those things. And then he went before the Lord. Even though the Lord already knew, because he knows he's omnipresent and omnipotent, and he knows everything anyway, but he still goes before the Lord and confesses his sin, because part of the forgiveness and the healing and the redemption and the recovery is that you confess it. You have to confess who you are out of your mouth
mm-hmm.
before you can receive the healing.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, like, 12-step programs and, like, with Alcoholics Anonymous, where people stand up there, they say, my name is so-and-so, I am an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
They do not begin the healing process until they are honest about who and where and what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's when the healing begins. So David speaks it even though God already knows it. He already knows. He knows the sin. You understand what it was in his heart before he even put it into action.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, before he had the opportunity to feel guilty about it and regret it, the Lord already knew that. But it's David's action of coming before him and saying, Lord, I've done so and so. I'm pleased, forgive me, ask for forgiveness, and then go into praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, just speaking to you, those of you that's listening, that's the beauty of it, knowing that no one is perfect. No one is perfect. But here, the whole message here to what we're talking about, the Davidic covenant, is knowing that you are not perfect. And when you do make a mistake, don't hesitate to go to God and ask for forgiveness. See, the problem is we begin to start to harden our hearts after we sin and sin and sin, and then we harden our hearts to the point where we don't really want to come back to God. We don't want to come and ask for forgiveness. And our heart becomes even more hardened, and we move further and further away rather than closer to God. And here, God is trying to bring his people closer to him, to get away from those idols, to get away from all that wickedness, and come back to him. Come back to him. Come back to their first love. And that's where the problem was with that Davidic covenant with David. And Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah, his prophecy was to the people. He saw the wrath of God destroying them. Destroying them. He even talked about bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He saw a city of nothing but bones, dry bones, simply because they would not turn their hearts back to the Lord. So for you, whenever you mess up, don't feel like it's the end. Do not feel like it's the end, because God loves you, he loves me, he loves all of us, and he wants us to repent for our sins. So when you feel that things are not going right, let me tell you something. You got a friend that's closer than any other friend that you could ever have, and his name is Jesus. Amen?
Well, we have to remember, too, is that when we pray that the Lord would illuminate any sins of omission or commission, and we could be honest before him and carry ourselves as a testimony to the kingdom. When you say that you get distant from the Lord, that's when you can no longer hear the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit because we're not listening and we're not hearing ourselves in the way we should be, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit stops talking.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't hear the Holy Spirit because you're not in tune. So we need to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to push the Holy Spirit out of our lives, out of our spiritual lives, and away from us where we can't hear. Get so far away that you can't hear the Lord talking through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And we know. Here's the other piece. You know the Lord's character. You know his personality. So there should be no question. Even in your heart, you know some people will say, well, I didn't know that that was a sin. In your heart of hearts, you can feel it when you've done something out of sync, when it's out of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any comments? Amen. We're going to move forward. We are on, again, we're moving on. We are in Jeremiah 33:24. Consider thou not what his people have spoken, saying, the two families which Jehovah did choose, he has cast them off. Thus do they despise my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Consider thou what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which Jehovah did choose. The two families we were talking about earlier, as we talked about, was the Davidic family and the Levites. The two families, those were the two families. He hath cast them off. This is just a saying that thus do they despise my people, that they should be no more a nation before them? Those are questions. That saying that God has rejected Judah as well as Israel, and thus they despise themselves in their relationship with God and His covenant to the people. This God, He did not despise David. He did not despise David. He did not despise the Levites. He did not. He did not. This is me speaking. He did not. I don't believe that he did despise, because if he despised them, David's line would have ended right then and there. It would not have gone any further. It would not have gone any further. God blessed David. And through David, again, that's through the line of David is where Jesus Christ came from, that line of David. So God made a covenant with David, and God is a God who cannot lie. He cannot lie.
Amen. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but David is coming through. He chose Judah. So he's coming through Judah's line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Judah, remember when we talk about the tribe, the tribes are the 12 sons of Jacob called Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Levi, oftentimes, again, Levi was among them, so he was given favor to the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Levi, because Levi was the chosen, were chosen as priests, and they ministered, and that was not going to change. That's what God said in the prophecy to Jeremiah up in 2021. Am I right?
They were the priesthood.
Okay. Okay.
And as we go even further, you know, the head of the priesthood was Jesus Christ.
Praise God. So he's saying in verse 24, have you heard what people are saying, that the Lord chose Judah and Israel and then abandoned them? They are sneering and saying that Israel isn't worthy of being counted as a nation. But the Lord had great favor for them,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they were chosen.
Amen.
That's why they were chosen. He could have chosen any of the other of the 12, even Joseph's line. But he chose Judah and Levi.
Amen.
Praise God.
Any comments? Amen. Moving on to Jeremiah 33:25. Thus says Jehovah, if my covenant of day and night stand not, if I have not appointed the ordinance of heaven and earth, if I have not appointed heaven and earth.
Amen.
The ordinances of heaven and earth, the whole order of nature is established. The whole order, the firmament of all of this is established through God's purpose in grace. Grace is the sign that where we have been forgiven. Look at Israel. When we look at Israel and all that Israel did, God loved Israel, and he always came to their rescue.
Amen.
grace. That's what we have, grace. Thank
Amen.
God
yes.
for grace.
Amen. So he loved all the tribes, nonetheless. And can I read it again in my version?
Sure.
You know how I get excited. I'll try to not get so excited. Have you heard what people are saying? And that the Lord chose Judah and Israel and then abandoned them? They are sneering and saying that Israel isn't worthy to be counted as a nation. But as the Lord's reply, I would no more reject my people than I would change my laws of night and day, of earth and sky. I will never abandon the Jews or David my servant or change the plan that his child would someday rule these descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I will restore their prosperity and have mercy on them.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. The Lord is promising, even if you're not righteous right now,
mm-hmm.
even if you have problems, that he will give you peace, that he will extend mercy towards you, that he will enable you to walk before him in peace and purity, that he has not forgotten you, that he sees you, he has a plan for you, a divine plan for you, and that he loves you dearly. Amen, amen, amen. And that it's by prayer that he will, that he accepts us, that he'll restore you. Everything the cankerworm has stolen shall be restored. Every way that you've been fooled and what do they say, hoodwinked and bamboozled, shall be restored. You won't even remember that. But there is mercy. There's mercy for you. Whatever it is, there is mercy because he has not forgotten you. He will not abandon you. What the Lord has made, he does not destroy. What he has said, He will carry out. He keeps his promises. He's not a man that he would lie.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is Jeremiah 33:26 that was just read. 33:26. And we thank God for the word of God. Amen. The word of God,
Amen.
Which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. What would we be without the word of God?
Amen.
We would be lost in a dark world.
Amen.
So faith, we just thank God for his word that illuminates our way so that even though that we are lost, we know the direction that we're going. Amen. We know the direction that we're going. We're going to have prayer. We're coming at the close of the hour. I think it's at 7:58 right now. And we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to close out. Any comments before we have prayer? Amen, amen. We'd like to definitely invite you back next Wednesday. Again, for those of you who are tuning in, we are New Beginnings Ministry. You hear every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Next week we have Atlanta in the house. Amen? We have Atlanta in the house.
Amen.
And we are looking forward from the Word of God, you know, from Pastor Rose, I do hear him in the background now. So we are looking forward to hearing a word from the woman of God. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for mercy, Father. We thank you for goodness. We thank you for glory. We thank you for all that you've done, Father. And Lord, Father, we ask that you come back to us, Father. And if there's anything that's said, Heavenly Father, we just pray that's not on one accord, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just straighten it out. Lord, Father, we pray that you would just use us all as vessels, Heavenly Father, that we encourage one another in a dark world, Heavenly Father, letting them know that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died, resurrected, who gave us life, that we might have life more abundantly. Father, we just pray, Lord, that as we continue to move forward, Heavenly Father, that you would just keep your arms of protection around us. Father, we thank you for all that you have done through our families. We thank you for what you've done through us. And Lord, Father, we just ask that you would just allow us, Heavenly Father, allow us to be servants, not to be served, but to be servants. And we'll be sure to give you the praise. We thank you in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, we love you. God loves you most. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
for all night. How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ask for things, according to the power that worketh in us?
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Somebody
You know he's able. Yeah. Everybody say, oh.
How can it keep playing? On the radio, it's when the computer's off.
You didn't cut out the...